You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings. I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. This show is available anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, whatever you like. Or you can ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. And today, some actual news came out with regard to the season and how it's going to go and how it's going to be different because of COVID-19 and everything that's going on in the world. And really the first domino to fall in what will probably be a sequence of very sweeping changes to the look of the 2020 season, or maybe even the existence of it overall, is that two preseason games have been canceled. So today we are going to spend most of the show talking about that, its repercussions, and how it affects the Vikings specifically, and we're also going to talk about the story of Nate Stanley, the seventh round quarterback out of Iowa, who's going to push Jake Browning, maybe even Sean Mannion, if things go great. So I'm excited to share that story with you, but first let's talk about the news of the hour, which is the two preseason games being canceled. So the NFL cut two preseason games, week one and week four. For the Vikings, that means that the home game against the Texans and the home game against the Seattle Seahawks are canceled. No more preseason games. But they will go on the road and play both the Browns and Bengals, which for COVID-19 reasons is particularly convenient. It's one road trip back to back and you stay in Ohio, so you don't necessarily have to fly all over the country, and that can help prevent the spread of the disease. Further complicating matters, it is reported that the NFLPA is not satisfied with this arrangement. They want to cancel the preseason entirely, and on behalf of the players, it makes sense. Why risk your players catching the disease and potentially ruining their entire athletic career, because the disease is a respiratory one, just to play in a game that won't actually affect the standings? So there's a lot that remains to shake out here. But for the Vikings, it presents a fairly interesting decision. Usually the preseason goes as follows. The first game, the starters play a drive, maybe two, and then the backups play the rest of the game. It's usually just a warm-up. The second game, the starters will play like the first quarter, and the third game, they'll play the entire first half, and that is considered more of like a dress rehearsal. And then the fourth game is used to play all of the backups and the deepest roster guys and kind of finalize your 53-man roster decisions. And so the NFL canceling the first and fourth weeks of the preseason means you lose most of the time that the deep roster guys get to prove that they deserve to be on the roster. And you preserve more of the dress rehearsal time, the two games where the starters play the most playing time, typically. But this is, of course, an atypical situation. And so every team, Vikings included, will be now presented with a very interesting dilemma. Do you play your backups and get your roster decisions right, potentially avoid a Donald Penn type we cut the wrong guy situation, or do you play your starters and get a better warm-up in and get your players acclimated to play the games that matter the most, so that when week one comes around, a particularly important game for the Vikings who are playing their rival the Packers, the players won't be inundated with off-season rust, which will also be exacerbated by the unique and unusual virtual nature of the off-season program for 2020. It really would make sense to put a little bit of extra effort and perhaps sacrifice some of the deep roster decision-making ability to make sure that your players are aligned and set up. But maybe that's something that also happens position by position. For a running back, it doesn't necessarily matter whether or not you've been installed in the same scheme, especially for the Vikings, where there's not a lot that's going to change, and the running backs more or less know the steps and know the reads, except for newcomers like Tony Brooks James. But for Dalvin Cook, who might hold out anyways, and Alexander Mattison, Amir Abdullah, Mike Boone, all of those guys know the steps, and so having them sit out a little more often may be okay to put up with. But for positions that require a little bit more chemistry, like offensive line or defensive back, you can't necessarily afford to lose that time. And you can mix and match this kind of thing in the preseason. You don't need to go fully one way or the other. However, that decision is likely going to be one that is well covered across all 32 teams. Personally, as like a fan, I am really bummed to see two preseason games go out the window. Like, there's a lot of people going like, aha, the preseason should be shorter anyways. I totally agree with this. This is fantastic. Those games are so boring. And I really take umbrage at that because, for one, the preseason is football. And like, we've had plenty of really fun preseason times. We've had, I mean, I still remember the Bills game. The fourth game from last year was like this really fun comeback. I don't think the Vikings ended up winning it, but it was kind of fun to watch. And I guess I see it as this moment where football is such a different game and where the winner or loser of the game doesn't matter. The individual performances do so much more than they do in a regular season game where you can have your quarterback have the worst game of his life, but if you still win, nobody's really going to be like that mad about it. In the preseason, that's no longer the case. It's all about the guys. And that nature of the preseason is why I do the Storytime series the way that I do it. Because that fourth preseason game, the one where you get bored by the third quarter and you turn it off and you complain about how football is a dying product, that's the game that's their Super Bowl for guys like Nakia Griffin-Stewart, who we covered earlier, the guy with that really close relationship with his stepdad and the really interesting experience at Rutgers. That is likely where his story would have ended. I mean, I don't have a lot of delusions about how he probably doesn't make the team. And that, to me, is the story conclusion that I want to watch. It's not a particularly interesting product from the perspective of who will win the football game. But if we can just pull ourselves out of that perspective and watch it instead as a competition between individuals, suddenly it becomes some of the most compelling sport that happens throughout the entire season. I think that fourth preseason game gives me more adrenaline than half of the regular season games do. And maybe this is a me thing. I'm a big fan of reality shows like Top Chef or The Voice or American Idol, where it is a competition of individuals and the tension of the show is constantly drawn by the question of who's going to get kicked off today. Is this the decision that ruins the entire competition for this contestant? And I think that the same kind of tension exists in those late preseason games, in the fourth quarter of the first game, or in the fourth game entirely. You know, is that the play? Oh my goodness, that quarterback threw an interception. Is that the interception that's going to make the D-back that made it? Is he going to make the team now because he made that play? I think that's fascinating. I think that's deeply fun. And so personally, I'm going to miss the preseason, but there's a lot of other stuff going on with this decision that I want to talk about. Its implications, its possible consequences for each of the teams, and the consequences that like affect the Vikings more specifically. And also, don't forget that the Nate Stanley story is coming up at the end of the show. But first, I want to talk to you about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is an aggregator for buying parts for your car or truck. So whether your car broke, or if you're just a gearhead and you want to get parts for whatever your pet project out in the garage is, and Lord knows during COVID, I'm sure that you've been spending a lot of time on that stuff. Head on over to Rock Auto and check and see if you can save a little bit of money on their prices. They, because they always have to compete with all the other brick and mortar stores, in a way the brick and mortar stores don't really have to compete with each other, because if you go to AutoZone with a broken car needing a new battery or a new whatever, you can't exactly go over to O'Reilly and see if their price is cheaper. Your car, you barely get your car there, right? It's like kind of hard to go store to store. Rock Auto doesn't necessarily have a place in that competition, and instead it just has to compete with everybody, but they can ship directly to your door, and they have an unbelievable selection at really low prices. For me personally, I could have saved about $60 if I got a new battery for my car through Rock Auto. So if that sounds interesting to you, if you have a need for car parts, go to rockauto.com, and I would just love it if you told them that Locked On sent you when you check out. So I find that the decisions of what to do with the deep roster, who's going to be the sixth wide receiver, who's going to be the 10th offensive lineman, is there going to be a 10th offensive lineman, who makes the team just because they were good on special teams, I find those decisions to be some of the most interesting to follow. And I'm going to be really disappointed that we'll get a lot less information in terms of how teams will make those decisions, both because I find it fun to follow and it will be less fun now, but also because I feel like those decisions now have to be made on lesser foundations, and that really stinks. I like being able to look at the kickoffs on all of the preseason games and say, which linebacker is going to make the team? I think that that makes for an interesting experience, and it makes it worth following all of these guys that, I mean, if you listen to the Storytime series, these undrafted free agents, these CFL randos, they have some of the most interesting journeys to follow, and the fact that they might end now because the fourth preseason game isn't going to happen really, really sucks. And from a more practical standpoint, it really sucks because my favorite team kind of has a problem with this. Not a huge one, because usually you have four games, you're not going to miss a lot, but I think they miss more than average when it comes to this kind of thing. They cut Elijah Lee, for example, who has caught on with the 49ers and really was part of their franchise for the last like 2 or 3 years, and was a contributing member of their Super Bowl team. Go further, back before the Mike Zimmer era, you get like the Donald Penns. I believe Mike Zimmer cut Mike Remmers. That might have been Frazier. I can't remember, but there have been plenty of instances at Brandon Zylstra, of the Vikings cutting players in their roster decisions that turned out to kind of be the wrong call and giving them less information. You might even disagree with that. I don't have a great informational foundation on that take. It's something that I kind of feel like they have a problem with, but if you were like, nah, it actually doesn't happen any worse with the Vikings than it happens with other teams, I'd probably believe you if you like did that work. But even granting that maybe it isn't a problem and I'm just succumbing to negativity bias, it sure is going to be one now. It's going to be super hard to figure out who deserves to be on the team between this guy and that guy, because you can't play them. Or if you do play them, you have to sacrifice the warm-up round, and now you're going to head into your Green Bay Packers week one really pivotal matchup with a whole bunch of rusty players. That doesn't seem like the move either. Like I mentioned in the first segment, you probably are going to mix and match those two things. Right, you're going to maybe not necessarily play Dalvin Cook or Alexander Mattison as much, and maybe not Dalvin Cook at all, right, if he holds out or whatever, but if you play Mike Boone a whole bunch and you put in Dalvin Cook like in week one, let's say he signs and you put him in week one, he's not going to have missed a beat. That'll be totally fine. But if that happens to, say, Garrett Bradbury, or, say, Ezra Cleveland, or Cameron Dantzler, or Jeff Gladney, or Justin Jefferson, and, any rookie, but, even players like defensive backs, or guys like tight ends that need to kind of know, safeties, guys that kind of need to have that chemistry with new defenders, I probably am okay with benching Harrison Smith and letting the safeties get a run, so you make sure you get your backup safeties right, like Harrison Smith knows what's going on, right? But even then, you have a downside, because like Jeff Gladney now doesn't have as much chemistry with Harrison Smith. And it really sucks that teams have to be kind of put in this Sophie's choice of either risking making a really bad deep roster decision and maybe letting a great player go, and there's kind of no way to mitigate that risk without the huge cost of ruining the chemistry of your team and ruining that kind of warm-up time. I know that as fans, we find the preseason boring sometimes. I hope you don't if you listen to this show, especially if you listen to it in June and July when I'm doing the Storytime series and you have a reason to care about the guys that are in the fourth quarter of that preseason game. That's kind of like, again, that's like the whole point of doing it, is that when you're watching those players, you know who that nobody is and where they came from and why it really, really matters that they just got this really cool play. But even if you do find it boring, you can at least appreciate the value that it has toward generating more wins in the regular season, because it's information gathering for the coaches. And it's going to be so hard already, especially if there's going to be like weird virtual training camp stuff. They're not planning on doing it right now, but everything, of course, is still up in the air. And if they do that and they don't have as good of like scouting information in the first place, and then they have less time to scout all their players afterwards, I'm genuinely concerned that there's going to be this huge amount of randomness in terms of what random hidden gems end up on a different team that, every draft has like a fifth, sixth, seventh round player that turns into Antonio Brown or Stephon Diggs or whatever, right? And there is this absolutely like non non-negligible, super significant chance that one of those players that turns into, ooh, he was drafted in the sixth round and he's this great story, now he's a superstar, ends up on a different team than the one that drafted him. So yeah, I'm definitely concerned that that's going to happen to the Vikings, especially as a team that has made those kinds of cut decisions before that really suck. And a lot of, like, with Elijah Lee and Brandon Zylstra, they kind of, or like Justin Coleman was another one, like sometimes they're priced into it because of the way the rest of the group is comprised, or the way that the rest of their roster is comprised, or some weird strategic decision that creates roster pressure somewhere, and then you lose somebody that goes and plays well somewhere else. That is, I guess, something that happens to the Vikings, and it's not necessarily like a bad thing from a roster building perspective. It's like, ah, you got too many rosterable players, you're gonna cut one, and then Elijah Lee goes somewhere else. But the fact that they, like, self-scouted, I mean, they kept, like, Emmanuel Lamour over Elijah Lee that year, and that was a miss of a decision. It's a miss that totally happens, but I don't like the idea of exacerbating the chances of a miss like that, especially in a year where you just drafted 15 players. So, for me, this really stinks. That said, I get it, alright? I totally get it, that you can't put players at risk of their, like, personal safety when it comes to a game that ultimately won't affect the standings. And I do think, like, I stand by the value of the preseason, and I won't back off of that, but I also understand that the value of a preseason game is lesser than the value of a regular season game, and when you have a players union going, we want to expose these players as little as possible, the preseason being cut becomes this super, like, amiable concession that the NFL will make, and I totally get that. And, like, football's the blood sport of the modern era, and we already put up with quite a bit of savagery for our own entertainment. So, yeah, upping that danger when there's a pandemic, or at least, like, declining to up that danger when there's a pandemic is something I can absolutely be sympathetic to. And I don't think I disagree with the NFL's decision. I think if I were in charge of the NFL, I would probably do something similar and maybe even go further with it. But as a fan, damn it, this sucks. And I'm allowed to be sad about it while still agreeing with the decision in principle. But enough about all of that. Now I am going to transition to talking about Nate Stanley and his story with the Minnesota Vikings. At the University of Iowa, they call their spring game Kids at Kinnick Night, where it's this super kid-friendly event, and that's kind of where they play their, it's like their preseason night game, or their training camp night game, like the Saturday night game that a lot of people go, and it's like this great family event. And Iowa's version of that is called Kids at Kinnick. And I think it was the 2017 version of that, maybe the 2016 version of that, featured Nate Stanley coming on for his second year. And he had fans really, really excited at that point, because the year before, he kind of defeated the odds and won the QB2 job in his true freshman year. And that's a big deal, because if you are, just being a true freshman and beating out a couple of guys who are older than you really rocks. But also, if you're going to be the true backup, that means that the team has to burn a year of eligibility, making you active for games in case the starting quarterback, who is CJ Beathard, goes down. And in his true freshman year, he won that job with a really nice performance in, like, spring games. So at this Kids at Kinnick event, Nate Stanley took the field, and he totally lit it up. And from that moment on, he was the starting quarterback of the Iowa Hawkeyes, and he has been until he graduated after the 2019 season. And one of the things about being a quarterback for a college program, and I really think it's this interesting cycle that a lot of players go through, especially the players that don't do so hot, where you go through this cycle of being this exciting entity to being a controversial entity, to being a universally reviled one. And it really is, if you're not a successful quarterback, if you're not somebody that becomes this legend of your program, really that's the only other option, is you're exciting when you're young and you're new and you're fresh and everybody's kind of sick of CJ Beathard. He had a good career at Iowa, but hey, you know, he's the new fresh thing. He's exciting. And then he sparks a lot of arguments. He maybe has some good plays, has some bad plays. Think like Josh Allen right now, Mitch Trubisky a couple years ago, Blake Bortles in like 2015, 2016, when he was kind of having like at least reasonable seasons. And then come the end of it, once you've been subjected to 3 years of play that maybe doesn't inspire your fan base very much, everybody pretty much wants to grab their pitchforks and their torches and run you out of town. And that's really what happened to Nate Stanley. He grew up the son of a coach, and when you have football in your life from childhood and you get like inundated, you just marinate in it, then you really don't feel, I think, the bright lights as bright. That may sound really strange if you're an Iowa fan, and you just might be, of course. I mean, this is a Vikings podcast, so I'm sure there's a bunch of Iowans in listener base. Love you guys. Hi, thanks for listening. But I don't think that, even though you might have a lot of sour memories of Nate Stanley and kind of poor plays and really clutch moments like overthrows of TJ Hawkinson or a bad interception or something, I don't think that's because he like got nervous or got too starstruck with the big moment or that the game was too big for him. He grew up around it. And being the son of a coach, when he came to Iowa and when he was recruiting with Iowa, he was choosing between Iowa and Wisconsin, that is what the coaches really were like struck by, was this very even keel, this very, you know, like been there before kind of attitude that really showed this kind of this quiet confidence, and they really, really liked that in him. And like even in his senior year, you know, after he's been through all the ups and downs of what Iowa's gone through over the last few years, which has been good but not great, and that creates a lot of controversy. And even in the face of all that controversy, he still has this really even keel, very guarded personality. And that is really, I think, what like defines him as a quarterback, as the kind of like QB you kind of have to be. The whole short memory thing, whether it's an interception or a touchdown, you approach the next play as though it never happened. You never let it get to your head. That's a really important trait for quarterbacks. And Nate Stanley definitely has that. And everybody describes him as the big arm guy, but he has an accuracy issue. And that's been well covered and well documented. And so he basically goes through all of college being like public enemy number one. And we've seen this plenty of times. I mean, we've been a part of it, right? We had Christian Ponder here. We had guys like these terrible journeymen, you know, the broken Donovan McNabb, like end stage Brad Johnson, and everybody's always calling for the backup. And I mean, look at like what happens with like the Jets and guys like Christian Hackenberg. I mean, there is this immense pressure, this very strange emotional effect that can happen when you are the disappointing hero face of the franchise. When you're the quarterback in a college team, you are the face of the franchise, whether or not you're good or bad. And if you are bad or not good enough, according to the way that Iowa fans want you to be, it can be this really draining emotional experience. And it creates this tension in Nate Stanley where he is, you know, he has a lot of trouble like kind of letting his hair down in front of the media. When he does, he's this really loose, laid back guy. But of course, it's going to be difficult to kind of open yourself up like that because you say one wrong thing and you're in the headlines for weeks. But his story at Iowa aside, I think it's probably, and unfortunately, defined by a couple of ill-timed overthrows in 2018 that define an 8-4 season. But on the bright side, a couple of upset wins against upper echelon teams. A win against the Gophers in 2019, a win against Iowa State a couple years ago. Nate Stanley has a little bit of a penchant for playing spoiler, and that might be his legacy at Iowa. And if he doesn't make it in the NFL, that might be his legacy in football in general. And that's not a bad one to have as a guy that is kind of weirdly mediocre, inaccurate, makes too many mistakes, throws too many interceptions, but sometimes he shows up randomly in a huge game as a huge underdog and makes somebody pay for underestimating him. And that's something I guess you can put up on your wall as you go on to the next chapter of your life. But for Nate Stanley, the next chapter of his life is trying to make the Vikings. And he enters a quarterback room where he has to compete with Jake Browning for a third spot on the roster, if there is a third spot on the roster. And both of those guys, I suppose, are trying to compete with Sean Mannion, though it doesn't seem likely that Sean Mannion's going to relinquish the backup job, if only because the Vikings like there being a veteran presence instead of a young and inexperienced one, so it kind of puts rookies behind the eight ball when it comes to getting that backup job. That doesn't mean it's necessarily precluded from him getting it, but Nate Stanley is one of those guys that stands to lose a lot because of the change in the preseason from COVID-19. Nate Stanley might have only gotten play in that fourth game. And if Jake Browning is, I mean, it kind of depends on what happens in the practices, right? But now basically, Nate Stanley and Jake Browning are in competition, and whoever loses that competition probably doesn't play a snap in the preseason and then just, like, gets cut by default. So suddenly, a lot of those training camp days just became a lot more important for Nate Stanley. And if I can see it, if we can have reporting on it, I don't know if media gets to be there or not, but I'm really curious to see how that goes. I guess the best we'll learn about is in whatever preseason games remain, if any preseason games remain. If the NFLPA gets its way, then maybe there won't be any preseason at all. But if we do get to see any of the battle between Nate Stanley and Jake Browning, I'm really curious about it, because it's probably likely that only one of them gets to actually go up against Sean Mannion and try to take that backup job away with this truncated preseason and a kind of abridged training camp experience. But that's going to do it for this week of Locked On Vikings. I'll see you all next week. Hopefully we won't be reporting on, like, the end of the season or anything like that, but the first domino did kind of fall, and we'll see how far these dominoes take us. But in the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at LockedOnVikings. The show is available anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, or you can ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. I will see you all next week, and as always, Skull.